This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. Got a super exciting show. We're going to be talking to an author who's doing his first middle grade novel. So I'm excited about that and the fact that we have a lot of children's authors on the show, and we have a lot of YA, we'll say young adult, authors on the show, but very few that fit that little groove as far as middle grade is concerned. And I've got a next-door neighbor's child who loves to read, and she loves middle-aged books, so we're going to put him on the test. Of course, we're talking about author Nick Corbin, and Nick Corbin is going to be talking to us about the book, and his latest is The Cat Prophecies, Claw Quest. I love it. I love it. The cover is going to be fabulous. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. So we'll come back and talk to Nick a little bit about the book, and then we'll also talk to him about writing in general. How is it different writing the different age groups and styles, these type of things. And yeah, pick his brain a little bit about all that. So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. So glad to join us today is author extraordinary Nick Corpon. He's the author of The Radicals and a lot of different books. And of course, he teamed up with this book with Jorge Enrique Paz. Nick, welcome on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, super excited about it. And of course, the latest book's called The Cat Prophecies, Claw Quest. Tell us a little bit about the book without giving away all the good bits, but what can the readers expect?
The quick version is that it's about a 13-year-old ñoño, which is Colombian slang for like a dork or a geek, a nerd, who finds out that his cat is not just a regular cat, but is actually an interdimensional warrior. And Tito, the kid, might be the chosen one to help his cat defend the worlds against the Aiwanch, who are the malevolent spirits who are trying to take over all of the worlds.
Nice, nice. What a nice twist. You know, when you see the book, you can tell that I talked about the cover design. You've got the evil spirits, the evil flying characters in there, and you got the main character, the cat there. It's an exciting cover that catches your eye right away. And of course, when you see the title, The Cat Prophecies, you think, okay, well, you know, what is all this about? Is this just another cat book? But there's a whole lot more going on in the book.
Yeah, it was a funny thing to write. It started as, well, Jorge and I met because he was my Spanish tutor. And then after, you know, a couple of weeks, we had a ton of stuff in common and we became friends. And then, I don't know, after a few months, he pitched me an idea. And his idea was, you know, we always see that cats sleep for, you know, 22 hours a day. But okay, what if the 22 hours a day here that they're sleeping, they're actually in a different world training? And like in their world, there are these ripped, you know, warrior figures or whatnot. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's a funny idea. Funny, funny. And after a couple of minutes, I was like, actually, that's a pretty good idea. And we started talking about it. I pitched it to my agent and she said, that sounds fantastic. You should write it. So we wrote it. And a couple of years later, here we are.
There you go. There you go. I love how it all comes together. You know, the fact that you meet Jorge thinking one thing, you know, he's going to be your Spanish teacher. And, you know, then you guys hit it off. And then all of a sudden it grows from there to this great book and great idea. It's almost like it's a prophecy that's going to happen. What do you think?
I like the way you tied that in.
Nice.
You should do this for a living.
I should do this for a living. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week. Well, tell us a little bit about some of the characters. Who can we expect? Who are some of the champions of the book, as well as some of the villains to expect?
The main character is Tiro Rodriguez. He's a 13-year-old. In the beginning of the book, something traumatic happens to him, and he takes off. And when he takes off, he comes across this cat who is very sweet. He has an injured paw, has a piece of glass in his paw. So Tito, being like the, you know, the kind soul that he is, rips off part of his shirt, which his mom will later get angry about because it's a school uniform shirt. But he bandages up the cat and falls asleep. And then he wakes up in this special world called Iguacai, which is the mystical cat world. So the cat is Kukito, who is named after his favorite anime character. As a funny aside, his name was originally Mazinger, which is Jorge's cat.
Oh, that's funny.
Mazinger is this huge anime from the 80s that was all around South America called Mazinger Zeta, Mazinger Z. And in the States, it was called Transwar Z. And I'm probably the only person aside from Jorge that I know who watched that show religiously when I was a kid. So when we like found out that we had this whole thing in common, it was a really weird kismet kind of thing. So Tito is joined by Luisito Piedrita, who is a little bit older. He comes from Medellin, in a bad neighborhood in Medellin, and people are kind of scared of him because the neighborhood has a bad reputation from the 80s. But, you know, it turns out that he's very baraca, which is like Spanish or Colombian slang for being like hardworking and very resourceful and stuff like that. And the third member of their crew is Isa Echeverri. And she is also misunderstood because she's, you know, pretty gothy. She has orange and black hair, which happens to match the cat that she gets paired up with. And they kind of form their own little gang of ñoños. And something that we really wanted to, well, there are a couple of things that we wanted to emphasize with the book. But one thing was talking about like mental health issues and kind of things like that in a non-patronizing way. I have Tourette's, so I twitch all the time. And Tito, coincidentally, has Tourette's as well. And Luisito struggles with anxiety. Issa struggles with depression. But we wanted to do it in a way that wasn't pandering to readers. And it wasn't like, oh, don't worry, this disability, quote unquote, is actually a power, because that just feels kind of cheap. It's just kind of, you know, it's just kind of part of who they were. And I've always loved the way that Rick Riordan and the Percy Jackson books approach it, is that Percy isn't dyslexic, it's that he's meant to read ancient Greek. And I thought that was just a fantastic way to be empowering without being like condescending. So that was one of the things that we were really interested in exploring. And as for the kind of the bad guys, I suppose, one of the bullies is Brian Uribe, who has picked on Tito for years and years and years. You know, it's a kind of classic nerd bully, but the bully has his reasons for doing it that we get into a little bit. And I think the main protagonist is Doña Irma, who is a kind of like the neighborhood, very powerful bruja, or the witch of the neighborhood. And she kind of kicks off the negative events, I suppose.
Right. Nice. And I love the reference how you sort of, you mentioned the Percy Jackson, because I saw the parallels in that too, because I'm huge part, you know, everybody loves the Percy Jackson, the setup with the books and the movies and everything going along with that. So I love the parallels. And I love the fact that, you know, we're sort of, I'm learning a lot, you know, I'm learning a lot when I'm reading the book, because I'm seeing the, you know, I'm reading about the parallels and I could envision, you know, kids that are going through some challenges, how they overcome them and how they could feel like, you know, like you say, without pandering, a real superhero themselves coming through all that. And then you tie in that with the sort of the Spanish flavor, Spanish twist to it all, learning something where I know some terminology. I know, you know, a small amount of Spanish, but not enough to get by. But I'm learning that, and I wanted to learn the words and the characters and everything that goes along with it. So I really loved how you guys sort of blended both of your background, skills, talents, and put it into a book that makes it easy, especially for middle-aged kids to read and understanding and gain something from it.
Thank you. I'm really glad you picked that up. That was, so in addition to the kind of the mental health issues, one thing that we were really, really set on was to present an accurate and positive depiction of Colombia. So everyone knows Colombia from the bad times, but that was 30 years ago. I mean, Medellin was named I think it was like the most progressive city in the world in like 2018-ish, something like that. It's one of the top visited cities in the world now. There's been a lot of social development, all kinds of stuff going on there. And what you see in the news and what the common conceptions of Colombia are still, you know, 30 years ago. And that's just not how it is. Oh, 40 years ago by now. God. And so we really wanted to highlight, you know, just how vibrant and how friendly and welcoming and warm the people are, how musical the cities are. And, you know, just there's art everywhere. The food is very, the food is fantastic. The fruit and the vegetables, I've never had stuff that's so fresh before, especially, you know, living in the middle of nowhere in the East Coast.
Right.
And so we really wanted to give like an accurate description of what Colombia is like.
I love that. I love that. And the fact that you're bringing that forward, because you're, you know, absolutely right. It's got a strong, rich culture and history, and the people are proud and they're hardworking, and there's a lot to love about it. And I love the fact that you're, you know, highlighting, displaying that, hey, the things you hear on TV, that's not there anymore. Or maybe it wasn't nearly as bad as what it was said to be, you know, if you listen to certain newscasts. I love how you presented that and allowed Jorge to share with us a little bit about the, you know, his background and his culture there in Colombia.
Yeah, it was a really fun experience writing it. When we started writing it, I had never been to Colombia before. So it was a lot of, you know, like Google Maps, looking at stuff and seeing where things are. I listened to, you know, Colombian salsa and watched films and stuff like that a lot. But there were a lot of just little nuances that I had never thought about that in editing it with Jorge, he brought up, like, you know, I was like, oh, well, they sell, in one scene, Gabby, the mom, gets a cake. And I was like, oh, she gets tres leches or something like that, whatever it was that I had and I really liked. And he's like, no. If you're trying to win someone over, you don't get them this, you get them merengon. Merengon is how you win someone's heart. And just like little things like that, that I would have never known because I live in the fields. and it was great to get like a very ground level, you know, just like quotidian, everyday understanding of what Colombian life is like for just like normal people.
I love it. I love it. I think it's fantastic. So the question is, once you put the book together, took a couple years to do that. When people pick up a copy of The Cat Prophecies, Claw Quest, what do you hope they gain from it, in addition to all the things we have already discussed? And if someone came to you and said, hey, you know, I loved it because of this, what would you really, you know, what would really make you happy about that?
Oh, man. I mean, one, that they just enjoyed the story, that it was, you know, it's a very basic thing, but, you know, just that it was a fun, entertaining story that moved them emotionally. And, you know, it sounds kind of cheesy, but sort of, you know, the power of friendship. It's these three ñoños, these three nerds who are kind of outcasts, but when they come together, they are, you know, more than the sum of their parts, I suppose. And just kind of, I guess, just giving a new perspective or a deeper perspective on navigating through troubled times, I guess, because they're all dealing with their own things. But by working with each other, by accepting who they are, you know, not seeing themselves as just, oh, well, I have Tourette's, or I'm, you know, a goth kid, or whatever it is, that they're more than their labels, that they can be, you know, the heroes of their own story. They can save the world.
I love that. The heroes of their own story. I like that. I'll pull that. I'm going to steal that from you. I'm going to put that on my headline. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll continue our conversation with author Nick Corpon and his book, The Cat Prophecies, Claw Quest. And then we'll pick Nick's brain a little bit about writing in general. So everybody hang tight. We'll come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Or wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to communicate with animals is a 4-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises as a method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit petliferadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Continue our conversation with author Nick Corpon and his book, The Cat Prophecies, Paw Quest. Nick Corpon and Jorge Enrique Paz. I think it was a little bit better. I don't know. Yeah, there we go. There we go. So writing the book. So you and Jorge, you know, you meet, you form this friendship, have this great idea, you put it together. Now what? So how does that formulate into writing and editing and blending all these things together?
It was a new experience. So I've written, I don't know, 5-7 books, something like that. And a lot of stories over my time. But this was a totally new way of doing it. So we had, you know, we talked about kind of the basic outline of the story, and I wrote up what I thought it was, and then sent it to him, and he sent his suggestions. And then when we kind of nailed down the synopsis, I wrote the first couple drafts and edited them and sent it to Jorge. And as I was mentioning earlier, Jorge speaks English, but he's, you know, his reading comprehension isn't quite as high as that goes. Jorge is dyslexic also, which is something that we were bonding over as we were kind of putting everything together.
Right.
So he took the manuscript and copied and pasted it into Google Translate so it could read it to him, because it was faster than him reading it all. And it would take me 7 years to translate it by hand. So it worked pretty well. So we pulled it all together and sent it to my agent. Then she sent us a bunch of notes and we incorporated them and sent it out. And we were like, okay, we're done. Like, we've got this locked. This is a great book. And then we started working with Lisa and Emily and Labyrinth Road, and it was a whole new experience. The amount of detail and the amount of care that they put into it and how much they were invested in the characters' emotional journeys and making sure that there were all these inconsistencies that I thought that I had totally nailed. And apparently, like, I was, you know, people's hair is brown in one chapter and it's blonde in a different chapter and all kinds of stuff like that. It was the difference between the book when we submitted it or when they acquired it and when it was published is night and day. They're like phenomenal editors. And, you know, we were super proud of the book when it went out, and they took it to a whole new level.
Nice. Well, it's nice to have a great team like that, because I know the editing process, you know, all the layers to it in getting it done. I wouldn't say it's dental surgery, but it's not not pleasant at times to really question how good of a writer you are once they get through it with their red pen. But I love the fact that you've got a great team behind you to do this, because I can imagine, you know, with the excitement that you and Jorge bring to it but the challenges that come along with it, that's enough to get it all put it and massaged together. And then all of a sudden you have this great editing team come along and they're like, yeah, it's good, but let's do some other things with it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And there were, not that we had pasted over anything, but there were a couple of Jedi mind trick hand waves that we were like, oh yeah, I mean, people get what we're going for. And then Emily would break it all down into, you know, graphs and chronological timelines and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, we didn't think this through at all for, you know, the hundreds of hours that we've been talking about it. So it was, sometimes it was painful, just even after 20 years of writing, I still have some semblance of an ego, but they, you know, like I said, it was absolutely worth it. The difference in it and how much the book sings now versus when we had sent it to them initially is, you know, it's just night and day.
Absolutely. And what's the thought been as far as making this a whole series or moving forward, putting pressure on Emily and the group here?
Well, hopefully people like it and people seem to be enjoying it so far. We've got a lot of positive feedback from reviewers, from just book bloggers, just regular people tagging us. So that's great. We're hoping that enough people buy it so that we'll be able to turn it into a series. I actually turned in the manuscript for the sequel 2 days before this book came out.
Nice.
So it was interesting talking about this book right when it came out, because my head was still in the sequel and I was mixing up timelines and stuff like that. And so we have the sequel will be out, I believe, next summer. And we have ideas for other books. So
nice.
Hopefully people enjoy it and want to see what Tito and the gang get up to.
I love it. I love it. Well, just don't get your characters confused and don't kill off a cat. That's all I have to say. If you stick with that, you're golden. You're going to be in good shape. You don't have to worry about it.
Spoiler alert, the cats are totally safe.
Don't yeah, worry. No cats harmed in this book. That's good. That's what we like to hear. Well, let me ask before I let you go. The writing for middle grade, did you go into this with sort of this idea of, okay, we're going to write this story and it's going to fit in this sort of groove of age group? Or did it sort of develop and your editor say, hey, this would be perfect for, you know, middle grade book?
It was somewhere in between middle grade and young adult, I believe, trending more towards middle grade. And once my editors got a hold of it, you know, we adjusted some things like adjusting Tito's, his age, so that it's more in line with what middle grade expects. And, you know, like some things were like a little bit too mature or a little too, not tragic, but a little too dark for, you know, a 12-year-old. But it wasn't really bad. I had a blast writing it. It was kind of, I always say that it's kind of like an 80s action movie, which I grew up on. So it's just, you know, every scene advances the plot and deepens character while something exciting happens.
I love it.
So we tried to kind of approach it that way, I suppose. And it was, it made it a really fun process. This is probably the fastest book that I've ever written.
That's great. Yeah, the middle-aged group, I mean, that's when, in me personally, I believe that's when you really get hooked, especially if you're going to create a series of books around certain characters. You know, that's the age group that really gets hooked in, but it's a little bit of a challenge. You know, like I've said early on, was we get a lot of fantastic writers who write, you know, for children's books, and then we get a lot that write for young adult and then moving on up the ladder. But that small window of, say, you know, 10 to 12, 10 to 14, you know, age group, it's a little bit of a challenge to write about, and we don't see a lot of great authors like, you know, in books like you and Jorge put together here.
Thank you. I think it forces you to be, I don't want to say a better writer because that sounds, you know, like condescending or something, but it forces you to reevaluate, or it forced me at least, to reevaluate how I write and to make sure that I'm not, you know, going into like navel gazing, or there's not, you know, 15 abstract metaphors on every page like I'm wont to do, but, you know, like everything, the story continues to move while we're making it worthwhile and we're making it deeper and broader at the same time.
Nice. I like that. Well, Nick, where can people find out more about the book, The Cat Prophecies, Claw Quest, and also find out about more about you and where you're going to be and all these wonderful things?
Jorge and I are both on Instagram. Our names are on the cover of the book, so you can look it up there. It's out through Labyrinth Road, which is part of Penguin Random House. So it's at Amazon, of course. I always highly suggest people pick it up from a local bookstore because they are the backbones of our literary communities as well as libraries. I wrote half of this book and all of the new book at a library, so you should always check it out from your library. So you can get it anywhere then. And we post stuff about the book all the time on Instagram. That's the only social media I have because I have ADD and tend to be obsessive. So I have to limit my online.
Believe me, I've tried so hard to limit so much social media. I get where you're coming from. So not a problem. All right. Well, everybody go out and pick up a copy of the book. It's called The Cat Prophecies, Claw Quest by Nick Corpon and Jorge Enrique Paz. It's going to be a fantastic read for you. And especially if you have a middle-aged child at home, it's going to be great for that as well. And then we'll post all the sites and Instagram and all that wonderful stuff on our site, so everybody can keep track of what's going on with you and Jorge and hopefully catch up with you somewhere.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Also, we're doing a reading in Brooklyn at Mil Mundos Bookstore in Bushwick on August 1st, Saturday, August 1st from 3 to 5.
Hey, there you go. Make it a date, guys. Go out and see them.
Come out.
Absolutely. Get an autograph. You know, that could be worth some bucks down the road. So everybody go out and see Nick and Jorge. And
I'm sure they can get tens of dollars for it.
Tens of dollars, man. We'll take what we can get nowadays. Come on now. All right. Once again, the book's called The Cat Prophecies, Claw Quest by Nick Corpon and Jorge Enrique Paz. Everybody go out and pick up a copy of it and go out and see them and have a great time. Nick, thanks for coming on the show. Great job. Send our best to Jorge, and we'll look forward to chatting with you guys somewhere down the road.
Thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it.
All right. Well, we're coming to end the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any questions, comments, ideas for the show, drop us a line. You can go to PetLifeRadio.com, and we'll be glad to answer your questions, entertain your comments, and bring on the people you want to hear from most. And while you're there, check out all the wonderful shows on PetLifeRadio.com. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights, Pet Life Radio. Have a good day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand. only on PetLifeRadio.com.